Good morning. Have you ever noticed that the times in our lives when we learn the most from the Lord and learn the most about the Lord, the times when we grow the most spiritually, are often times that we wish were not there in our lives? They're often the most challenging times, the times that we dislike the most. They come in times of loss, times of personal challenge, such as the loss of a job or of a relationship, a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, having to deal with a serious medical issue, or the death of a spouse or a close friend. Leroy Imes writes these words: God often speaks to us in times of great personal crisis and transition. It seems we're often more attentive to His voice during those hard times. You may be going through such a time in your life right now. I hope that the passage that we are studying this morning, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, will encourage you. In this passage, Isaiah sees God in all of His glories, and it's a reminder to us that we need to see God. We need to focus upon Him, put our vision upon Him. Isaiah sees himself as well in the light of God's holiness. The background to Isaiah chapter 6, which begins in verse 1 in this way, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple." Uzziah was one of the great kings of Judah. It is said about him in Nelson's Dictionary of the Bible that he ascended the throne at the age of 16 and reigned longer than any previous king of Judah or Israel. 52 years. He was a wise, pious, and powerful king. He extended Judah's territory and brought the nation to a time of great prosperity. However, Uzziah's heart was lifted up in pride. No longer satisfied to be a mortal king, he desired to be a divine king. He entered the temple to burn incense. God judged him by striking him with leprosy. Warren Wiersbe adds to this description of Uzziah by saying this: "He was elevated to the throne at the age of 16, and under his sound leadership, the nation took on new life and prosperity. God gave Uzziah great victories over the Philistines and the Arabian nations. He led the nation in great building programs, particularly in the area of the water supply. His military establishment was remarkable. He used the latest machinery for waging war, but pride brought about his ruin. He had ruled for 52 years, and the nation enjoyed its greatest safety and prosperity since Solomon." You can read about Uzziah, in 2 Kings chapter 15 and 2 Chronicles chapter 26. For the first time, G. Campbell Morgan writes, "For the first time in Isaiah's life, the throne of Judah was vacant. The man who had symbolized national order and authority had passed away. Then he saw the throne, which is never vacant, and the king, the Lord, who never dies." The devotional writer Selwyn Hughes writes these words: "It is my conviction that the Christian church needs a fresh vision of God. Almost without realizing it, a spiritual myopia has afflicted us. We are not seeing life clearly because we do not see God clearly. A right perspective on God gives us the right perspective on everything else: life, work, money, service, relationships, and so on. The reason our problems often seem overwhelming is because we allow the things of time to loom larger in our gaze than the things of eternity. Life works better when we know how to glance at things but gaze at God. Seeing Him clearly will enable us to see all other things clearly. If we are going to rightly relate to God, if we are going to serve Him, we must fix our attention upon Him and upon His glory. We need to be reminded of who God is and who we are and whom it is that we serve. That's what we see in our passage this morning in Isaiah chapter 6. We need a fresh view of God. And so often a fresh view of God comes in the midst of trying circumstances, in the midst of a crisis in our lives. It's often true that we don't seek God in the ordinary circumstances of life, at least not with the same passion. Our lives are so often filled with ourselves, our problems, our plans, our goals, our needs. We need rather a heavenly perspective. We need to fix our eyes on eternity. We need to get God's point of view. Isaiah had to be reminded that God was still on the throne, despite the human throne being empty. He needed a fresh vision of God's holiness, His majesty, and His glory. He needed to see himself in light of who God is. We read in verse 2, above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." They repeat it three times for emphasis, three times for completeness. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. J. Vernon McGee, in his inimitable way, said this: "This pictures the holiness and glory of God. He is high and lifted up, and if we would see Him today in that position, we would be delivered from low living. It would also deliver some folk from this easy familiarity they seem to have with Jesus. They talk about Him as if He were a buddy and as if they could speak to Him in any way that they pleased." Whenever I read the scripture at verse 4, the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke, I think of the time my family and I lived in Arkansas in an area of many lakes. Several of the lakes had hydroelectric power plants at the bottom of the dam. One such dam near our home was a place we often liked to visit because you could drive up to the top of the dam, and indeed you could drive on the top of the dam, get out of your car, and see the spectacular view from the top of the dam down into the valley below, and it was a beautiful view. And then we would get back in the car and drive to the bottom of the dam, where there was a building with an observation deck which overlooked the turbine generators. 20-foot diameter tunnels directed the lake's water into the turbines, and when they were turning, the building shook with the power of the water, and it always filled me with both fear and awe. That's what I think of when I think of verse 5. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. When we think of the Lord and we think of His glory and we think of His majesty and we think of His power, we ought to be filled with awe, but we ought to be filled with fear as well, a respect for who He is. In verse 5, "Woe to me," I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. The Lord is on the throne, and it is glorious. When we see Him in His rightful place, we see ourselves clearly. We have a concern for sin in our lives, and we see our sinfulness and our need of forgiveness. W.E. Vine, in his commentary on Isaiah, says this: "So should it ever be with us. The more we apprehend the facts and character of the atoning sacrifice of Christ and the glories of His person, the more deeply we realize our own sinfulness. The nearer we are to the Lord, the greater the sense of our utter unworthiness." R.C. Sproul writes, "In that single moment, all of Isaiah's self-esteem was shattered. In a brief second, he was exposed, made naked beneath the gaze of the absolute standard of holiness." You see, when we see God in His rightful place, when we gaze upon Him, we also see ourselves. We see our need and see ourselves in light of His holiness, and we see our need for cleansing. Verse 6, "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" This was a symbolic action that signified the removal of the prophet's guilt and sin. The penalty of sin was paid by a substitute offered in the sinner's place. Verses 6 and 7 prefigure the cross. In verse 8, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Isaiah sees a vision of God and fixes his gaze upon God on His throne. He sees a vision of himself in all of his neediness. God takes care of his sin, and he is ready and willing and able to serve the Lord. As we leave our passage this morning and our time together in this devotional, there are two ways that we can apply this passage. The first is to apply from Uzziah's life the danger of becoming prideful. One writer said, "Early in his reign, Uzziah sought the Lord, but late in life, Uzziah became prideful. Forgetting that God was the source of all his success, Isaiah began to think that he was above the law, that is, the law of God." Uzziah reminds us of the sobering truth that a lifetime of good and wise living can be marred by a single moment of foolishness. Are you walking with God? Ask God for the grace to finish the race with humility and obedience. Whatever stage we are at in our spiritual life, let's pray for the grace to finish well. And one final application from Isaiah's life. When things on earth, Warren Wiersbe said, are discouraging, start looking at things from heaven's point of view. If you're going through a time of loss right now, or if you're going through a trial or a time of difficulty, may I ask you this morning, look up. Fix your gaze upon our glorious Lord. May you have a blessed time in prayer this morning.